One of the best rules of Baha'i behavior is this. When in doubt, imagine what Abdu'l-Bahá would have done and do the same thing. But how are we to imagine what Abdu'l-Bahá would have done if we do not know Abdu'l-Bahá? If we are not familiar with his life, if we are not familiar with his sayings. Therefore, the biography of Abdu'l-Bahá, biography being the history of an individual, are absolutely indispensable for our own development. Any one of us who aspires to the development of his spiritual powers, any one of us who aspires to become a better Baha'i, must study Abdu'l-Bahá's life, must study the history in which Abdu'l-Bahá was such an active agent. And then again, if one lives in the United States of America, one has to know something about one's antecedents. And it was Abdu'l-Bahá himself who played a major part in bringing the faith to the United States. And then after the passing of Abdu'l-Bahá, there comes a new period, another period. 36 years of the guardianship of Shoghi Effendi. Those were the years of the foundation of the Baha'i administration, the building up of local and national spiritual assemblies, the creation of a network of Baha'i communities on the American and Asiatic and later on European continents. This period is so full of interest to us because even though Shoghi Effendi is no longer with us, we still live under his aegis. We still are working out the same problems. We are still engaged in the same activity that he set before us. It was in the period of the ministry of Shoghi Effendi that the divine plan had begun to be realized. All of this, of course, is already history. It is the past. And there are many Baha'is today in the United States who have not experienced themselves any of it. Therefore, they and to a certain extent, even those Baha'is who were participants in these events must repeatedly, constantly go back in order to relive that great experience. The history of the faith is the matrix of the future. It is a great treasure, a source of inspiration, and the promise of the achievement of the world order of Baha'u'llah.
This deepening session on how to study the history of the Baha'i Faith is presented by Dr. Firuz Kazemzadeh, Chairman of the National Spiritual Assembly of the Baha'is of the United States and Professor of History at Yale University. Dr. Kazemzadeh.
Friends, I would like to talk to you for a little while about how to study the history of the faith. We Baha'is are fortunate in having a large body of works from which we can learn about our own past. Have you ever given a thought to the fact that there is more reliable information on the life and times of Baha'u'llah than there is on the founders of all other religions combined? We know so little about Moses, so little about Jesus Christ, more about Muhammad, very, very little, if at all, about Zoroaster, very little about the Buddha, But on Baha'u'llah and on the early history of the faith, we have a vast historical literature. That literature can be divided into several categories. First, there are the writings of Baha'u'llah himself, the writings of Abdu'l-Bahá, and of Shoghi Effendi. Of course, Baha'u'llah did not write a history of the faith. He didn't write memoirs. He didn't write reminiscences. But he gave a summary of the highlights, of the high points of the first 46 years of the faith in the Epistle to the Son of the Wolf. That is a unique work, and it deserves a discussion in its own right. Then, of course, Abdu'l-Bahá wrote a history, and that is the Traveler's Narrative, a remarkably succinct, beautifully written survey of both the Babi and the Baha'i period, and the first work from the pen of a Baha'i writer to be published in Europe. Shoghi Effendi also wrote history and translated Nabil's Dawnbreakers, which is a very important work written by a witness to many of the important events which it describes. The second category of books on the faith comprises the works by Baha'i historians. Nabil's own book belongs in this category, and so do the works of several other writers in Persia, though unfortunately these are not yet available in English. As time goes by, most of these will be translated and made available to the Western public. The third category is that of books written by non-Baha'is, some of whom were objective, some of whom were sympathetic to the faith, and some who were antagonistic, and some of them were outright enemies. One of the very first of such works was written by a certain Mirza Kazembek, who was an Azerbaijani by birth, but a Russian subject, a scholar, eventually a professor at one of Russian universities. His work was written in the very first years of the Babi dispensation and still constitutes an important source. Then there was that fascinating Frenchman, Comte de Gobineau, whose book on the religions and philosophies in Central Asia, this is its French title, in fact is two-thirds about the Bab and the origins of the Babi movement. Then, of course, there are the various works of Edward Granville Brown, the English scholar who did so much to collect, publish, and translate various Baha'i materials, including the Traveler's Narrative written by Abdu'l-Bahá. Also, Baron Rosen, another Russian scholar, the Frenchman Nicolas, and many, many others. The best book with which to start studying the history of the faith is undoubtedly Shoghi Effendi's God Passes By. This book was written for the 100th anniversary of the Declaration of the Bab. Let us now take a look at this remarkable work. In the foreword, Shoghi Effendi divides the first Baha'i century into four distinct periods. Look at page 14 of the foreword. Start with the second paragraph and read to the end of that paragraph, way down on page 15. As you see, Khashoggi Effendi divided the first Baha'i century into four periods. Each of the first three periods is associated with one of the principal figures of the faith. The first is the period of the ministry of the Bab, the second of Baha'u'llah, the third of Abdul Baha, and the fourth can be called the period of the ministry of Shoghi Effendi. But of course, Shoghi Effendi did not call it that. Rather, he called it the period of the inception of the formative age of the Baha'i faith. This last period, the fourth one, saw the founding of the administrative order, which Shoghi Effendi calls a system which is at once the harbinger, the nucleus, and the pattern of his, that is, Baha'u'llah's, world order. If you now turn to the table of contents, you will see that the book is divided into four sections corresponding to the four periods of the first century of the faith. This gives the book its structure. Now take another look at the table of contents and read the subtitles for the first two or three chapters. Here you have history in outline. The most significant events have been clearly identified. Thus, for instance, in chapter 1, the birth of the Babi revelation, and the subtitles, declaration of the Bab's mission, enrollment of the letters of the living, the Bab's pilgrimage to Mecca, the Bab's arrest and departure for Isfahan, the Bab's sojourn in Isfahan. These are then the most important events covered in the first chapter. The table of contents can be used as a study guide and also as a convenient outline for reviewing what has been read. Let us go over the first chapter. Shoghi Effendi begins his narrative abruptly and dramatically. Those who want to learn the background would have to look for it elsewhere, for instance, in Nabil's Dawnbreakers. The first two pages set the stage, telling us what to expect and passing judgment on the people among whom the Bab appeared. Read carefully the passage starting on line 8 of page 4 with the words, "The people among whom he appeared," and ending with the next to the last line on the same page. This then was the setting, and such were the enemies arrayed against the Bab and against his infant cause. By the time we reach the middle of page 5, where the main story begins, dramatic tension has already been built up and established. Shoghi Effendi tells of the hour before sunset on May 22, 1844, when Mullah Hussein Boshrui, later known as the Babul Bab, the Gate of the Gate, became the first recipient of the new divine message. Mullah Hussein himself later gave an account of his experience. Look at the first paragraph on page 6. Read this paragraph. What Mullah Hussein reports here, the assurance, the sudden accretion of power, the courage to face the whole world, these will come to most of them who open themselves to the light of the faith. And even in our own day, 100 years later, it is still possible to experience these same feelings of assurance, of courage, and of power when we, the descendants of the Dawnbreakers, the spiritual descendants of the Dawnbreakers, open ourselves up to the faith. Shoghi Effendi moves rapidly forward. He tells how 17 letters of the living were enlisted under the banner of the faith, and how the Bab sent them out to teach and to propagate the faith. Again, we see the immediate relevance of the story to ourselves. As spiritual heirs of the Dawnbreakers, we are entrusted today with the same mission. We are the people who must carry out the mandate first entrusted by the Bab to the letters of the living. The letters of the living dispersed, and the Bab himself went to Mecca, accompanied by Quddus. Upon his return to Persia in March 1845, the Bab found the country in turmoil. His disciples had fearlessly carried the message to the people, provoking fear and hatred in the clergy. The clergy turned to the government, to the authorities, demanding that this movement be stopped. But it was too late to stop the Babis. On pages 10, 11, and 12, Shoghi Effendi gives us an honor roll of the great disciples of the Bab: Mulla Ali Bastami, Mulla Sadiq Khorasani, Sayyid Yahya Darabi, surnamed Wahid, and Mulla Muhammad Ali Zanjani, surnamed Hujjat, who accepted the Bab's mission, by the way, after reading only one page of the Bab's writing. These were the great heroes of the first period of the faith. There followed the Bab's arrest and exile to Isfahan, the first persecution directed against himself and the first persecutions directed against his disciples. At the end of chapter 1, we see the Bab imprisoned in a bleak fortress in Maku, in distant Azerbaijan. The first period of his ministry was finished. A new and tragic period lay ahead. Now let us go back to the subtitles to chapter 1 in the table of contents: the declaration of Bab's mission, enrollment of the letters of the living, the Bab's pilgrimage to Mecca, the Bab's arrest and departure for Isfahan, the Bab's sojourn in Isfahan. Now, this again helps us to review the chapter that we have just looked over. And as we look back at this first chapter, we easily see its importance. The historian, in this case Shoghi Effendi himself, revived the past. We heard Mullah Hussein tell or give us his own account of the beginning of the new dispensation. We were brought nearer to the Bab and to his heroic disciples, and through this we were given an opportunity vicariously to experience, though of course in a very attenuated form, some of the joy that they experienced in its fullness. If one went on systematically and with full concentration through this entire book, one would find one's understanding of the faith increase enormously. The story of the Bab's martyrdom, the appearance of Baha'u'llah, his exile and incarceration, the martyrdoms, the growth of the Baha'i community, the ministry of Abdu'l-Bahá, the establishment of the administrative order — these are the signposts in our history and they are all set forth before us vividly and clearly in this magnificent book. Once again, let us go back to the table of contents. Chapter 2, The Bab's Captivity in Azerbaijan. Shoghi Effendi begins by explaining the significance of the captivity. The transfer of the Bab from Mahku to Chehrir, his examination at Tabriz and the indignities that were heaped upon him, his writings, for it was here in Azerbaijan, in the prisons of Mahku and Chehrir, that the Bayan, the holy book of the Babi dispensation, was written. His covenant, the conference of Badasht, during which the final separation of the Babi faith from Islam took place. And then in chapter 3, the story of the great upheavals in Mazandaran at the fortress of Sheikh Tabarsi, at Nehriz in southern Persia, the upheaval in Zanjan, and the martyrdoms in Tehran. Then chapter 4, the most dramatic chapter in the history of the faith, the martyrdom of the Bab himself. Shoghi Effendi tells of the events preceding his death, the circumstances attending his martyrdom, tributes paid to his memory, and draws a magnificent parallel between the mission of the Bab and the mission of Jesus Christ, two prophets who were executed by their enemies. Then Shoghi Effendi talks about the significance of the Bab's mission. Then again, in chapter 5, Shoghi Effendi focuses on the followers of the Bab, the massacre of the Babis in Tehran, the role played by Baha'u'llah during the Bab's ministry, the arrest and imprisonment of Baha'u'llah in the Siyah Chal, the Black Pit of Tehran, and of course, it is at this point that the Baha'i dispensation begins. Shoghi Effendi tells about the arrest and martyrdom of Tahereh, the great woman disciple of the Bab and the poetess. He talks about the execution of the prominent disciples of the Bab, tribute paid to the heroism of the Babis, and also speaks of the fate of the persecutors of the Bab. Interestingly enough, all of them came to a very, very sad end indeed. And this brings us to the second part of the book, the second period, the ministry of Baha'u'llah. Here again, the chapter headings and the subtitles of the chapters tell the whole story. Chapter 6, the birth of the Baha'i revelation. Chapter 7, Baha'u'llah's banishment to Iraq. Chapter 8, the same continued. Chapter 9, the declaration of Baha'u'llah's mission and his journey to Constantinople. Chapter 10, the rebellion of Mirza Yahya and the proclamation of Baha'u'llah's mission in Adrianople. This brings us, of course, to 1867, the anniversary which we celebrated less than 2 years ago. Then Baha'u'llah's incarceration in Accra, its significance. For this, Shoghi Effendi has two chapters, chapter 11 and chapter 12. And finally, chapter 13, the ascension of Baha'u'llah. With this, the third period begins, the period of the ministry of Abdul Baha, stretching from 1892 to 1921. And this section begins with a chapter on the covenant of Baha'u'llah, followed by chapters on the rebellion of Mirza Muhammad Ali, the rise and the establishment of the faith in the West, the renewal of Abdul Baha's incarceration, the entombment of the Bab's remains on Mount Carmel, Abdul Baha's travels in Europe and America, the growth and expansion of the faith in East and West and the passing of Abdu'l-Bahá. This chapter then completes the heroic age, and after that we are in the fourth period, the inception of the formative age of the Baha'i Faith. Here the chapter headings are the rise and establishment of the administrative order, attacks on Baha'i institutions, emancipation and recognition of the faith and its institutions, and international expansion of teaching activities. This book, of course, was written in 1943-1944. A great many things have happened since. After all, 25 years in the history of the Baha'i Faith is a long, long time. The passing of Shoghi Effendi and the election of the Universal House of Justice are undoubtedly the outstanding events of those 25 years. At this moment, we do not yet have a written history of those days, but of course we have tremendous records. All the correspondence of the local and the national spiritual assemblies, the messages from the hands of the cause and from the Universal House of Justice, reminiscences, memoirs, newspaper and magazine stories, an absolutely incredible amount of primary material from which future Baha'i historians will fashion the chapters that will recount those wonderful events during those wonderful years. God Passes By, then, is a very, very significant book, a book that introduces us to the faith through the eyes and through the medium of the pen of Shoghi Effendi himself. This book should be studied diligently by every Baha'i in order to bring himself closer to the spirit of the faith. Through our knowledge of the events which I have been mentioning, the story of the Bab's martyrdom, the appearance of Baha'u'llah, the ministry of Abdu'l-Bahá, these great signposts of our history, through our knowledge of them, we enlarge our spiritual horizons and share in the lives of those who lit the torch and transmitted it to us.